Goedemorgen. Terwijl de vogels hier buiten fluiten en iedereen waarschijnlijk ook in vakantiestemming raakt, hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. Zometeen begint de grote uittocht, want iedereen heeft natuurlijk zin in vakantie. Maar een bijzondere vakantie wordt het voor mensen die meegaan met de reis van Hour of Power naar Israël. Van 15 tot 22 oktober in de voetsporen van Jezus. En alles over deze reis kun je vinden op onze website. Ik vind het leuk dat u en dat jij kijkt. Het wordt een bijzondere uitzending, want dominee Schuller gaat spreken over de roeping van Petrus en wat is onze roeping. En verder als gast in de Crystal Cathedral, een bijzondere vrouw, Barbara Elliott. Ze werkte vroeger in het Witte Huis. Werd geraakt door de boodschap van moeder Teresa, heeft haar werk opgegeven en werkt nu in de grote steden onder straatkinderen in Amerika. En verder natuurlijk veel muziek. En als gast bij Hour of Power Nederland, notaris John Kroes. Iedereen een hele fijne uitzending toegewenst en overigens ook heel fijn dat je kijkt.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Turn around, shake hands with somebody close to you. Give them a blessing. We have a wonderful hour planned for you this morning, together with musicians, with messages, with words, with thoughts. God is here, and if you don't believe it, listen to what your brain will do. He'll be working through it. He'll be sending thoughts. Listen to what your emotional system is going to be responding to: moods, memories, big moments. This is the God who's real, and he's here, and he'll be working in you. So, that's right. That's why we can say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh God, you are the omnipotent creator and father, and you are the still small spirit that comes into our minds, our moods, our memories, our meditations, and our messages. Beautiful things have happened for 50 years, and beautiful things will be resounding in the whole world today through this hour of church service, where we welcome Russians and Arabs and Chinese, people around the globe by the millions. We are one church, and we love you, God, and we follow Jesus Christ. Amen. may be seated. The scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Psalms, chapter 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who love him. As far as the east is from the west, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who trust him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word.
Excited this morning, and pleased to welcome Barbara J. Elliott to the Christ Cathedral for the very first time. Barbara is the president of the Center for Renewal, a resource center founded in 1997 for Christ-centered organizations working to renew the cities of America. She is the author of Street Saints, Renewing America's Cities. President George W. Bush awarded her the Eleanor Roosevelt Award for Human Rights in 2001. He recognized her work with refugees and the poor. As an international television correspondent in the White House, she also served President Ronald Reagan in the White House Office of Public Liaison. Please join me in welcoming to the Crystal Cathedral, Barbara Elliott.
Barbara, God loves you. And so do we. I'm going to be here. Thank you.
So you used to be a correspondent in the White House, and now you're working in the inner cities. Quite a transition, I would say.
It's kind of bizarre, but, you know, God has a sense of humor in taking people who are doing things that they think are important and then reorienting their priorities. There was a seed planted when I was working at the White House in 1981. I went across town in a chauffeured White House limousine feeling very self-important. Got out, walked into the Senate office building, and there was a little nun there about this big who was speaking to senators and people who were there. It was Mother Teresa. And I saw in all of my self-importance the contrast between the real power that she had, the spiritual power, and the seeming power that all the rest of us had. It was pretty clear that one day in her life was worth much more than all of ours put together. I didn't understand then what that meant, but about 6 years later, I was living over in Germany. I was a correspondent there, and I had a kind of a reevaluation of my life. I had done a lot of things that people said were important, but I was very empty, and if I looked inside, I didn't like myself very well. I'd been raised in a Christian family, but I hadn't met Christ. I didn't know him in a personal way. I had head faith, but not heart faith. And at that point of really reevaluating, I just said in kind of a homemade prayer, Lord, I've tried everything my way, and it has yielded nothing of lasting significance. But if you can take this life and make it a witness to you, please do. And he honored that. He walked very patiently with me and allowed me to learn for 2 years as an active disciple. And then when I was ready in 1989, I prayed. I said, all right, Lord, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? And there was no answer. So I fasted and prayed this time and said, all right, I really do mean it. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And then the answer came in one word, and it was refugees. It was the summer of 1989, and the Berlin Wall was just about to fall. The barbed wire at the border of Hungary had been snipped, and there were suddenly 300,000 people that were pouring through from East Germany and Poland and Kazakhstan and a lot of other places that were coming to West Germany, which is where I was living. And God put on my heart and on that of another woman who helped me just to scoop up those that we could get to and to love them through the transition. They needed clothes and blankets and pots and pans, and they needed somebody to tutor their children. They needed a place to live and a place to work. And in just being able to do hands-on service, it first of all taught me the joy of serving, but it also showed me that God was doing something else was a lot bigger than what we had seen. When I came back to the United States 10 years ago, it became clear to me that now God's working in the cities of America in a way that hasn't really been documented or understood. And I took a deep breath and I've spent some time in some very interesting places: homeless shelters, prisons, drug treatment centers, inner city schools, talking to former gang members, going in and talking to people who have been convicted of really difficult crimes, and finding that God is at work in their lives, changing them. And I'm meeting the people who are now going out to serve them, and started my own little organization, the Center for Renewal in Houston, 8 years ago, to just come alongside those, be their friend, be their advocate, help them get the resources that they need, and come alongside where God is at work.
So you took your skills as a correspondent and turned it and used, and God used those gifts, and he used you to be able to share the stories of people who are really making a difference in our society.
That's exactly right. God took this, whatever there was,
vessel,
and just sent me out. But I had to be willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me. And what he's allowed me to see now are these amazing people all over the country. Street saints are people who are willing to be a vessel of God's love, and they're going where there are hurting and broken people. They are all different kinds of people. They are black and white and Hispanic. Some of them have a PhD. Some of them are a third grade dropout. Some of them are former CEOs who decided they want to do something different with the rest of their life. Some of them are soccer moms. Some of them are former prostitutes. Some of them are former gang members, and some of them are perfectly ordinary people who stay at home but who are willing to go be a mentor in their own community. And the amazing thing is that anybody has a gift within them, a spiritual gift that God's given them, to go be a vessel of love, to to use whatever they have to reach out in their own community, to sanctify the soil where we're planted. That's the quiet revolution that's taking place with Street Saints right now.
So you've had the experience of witnessing firsthand what all these different charities and different things that people are doing in the inner cities to make a positive impact in our community. Do you have any personal, anything that stands out specifically as a something that really touched you personally?
Well, there are. I chronicled three cities in a little bit more depth. I looked at Pittsburgh and Memphis and Fresno as examples of where a leadership foundation has stepped up and has rallied people throughout the city who are deployed, really the quiet army of God's faithful people who are out doing the work. There are a lot of individuals that I came across that I thought were really remarkable, too. And one of them that I think is an example of how God uses a particular life is a woman named Cordelia Taylor. She's in Milwaukee. She's an African-American woman who grew up in rural Tennessee in the late 40s. Her father was murdered by two white men. And she had a lot of justifiable anger. She was in Milwaukee the evening that Martin Luther King Jr. died. And she went out on the streets with a lot of very angry people. She took a big stone and hurled it through one of the department store windows. And she said it seemed like the glass was falling for an hour, just crashing down. And in the midst of that crash, God spoke to her and said, "This is not my way. I want you to follow me and do it my way." And she says she was healed of something that had been aching in her, the justified anger. But God used her then to go and to become an agent of change. She made her way out of poverty, moved into the suburbs, became a nurse, raised eight children, was very successful, had everything the world said was success, but God wanted her to go back in the inner city and to serve there. So she said, "Yes, Lord." She took over the house where she'd actually left in the inner city before, renovated it one room at a time, and created something she calls Family House. She's created a home there where people can go who have no place to go in their waning years. They may have dementia, they may be in a wheelchair, whether or not they have money, they can come and live with her and have meals around a table like a family and have the dignity that comes with a life of love. Now, she's an interesting woman. She's about 4'11", same size as Mother Teresa, and a lot like her in some respects. This whole place where she first had one house, and she bought the one next door, then the one on the other side, now she's got a whole city block. And you'd think that that would be enough of a testimony to the power of what she's doing, right? Well, she's in the middle of gang warfare. Now, she was a source of, you know, an agent of healing, but the people who were there around her were not. And they've got bullets zinging over her backyard from these guys who are shooting it out. Well, she walks out in the middle of this one day and says, "Stop it." One of them pulled a gun on her. She said, "Go ahead and shoot. You'll just get me to heaven faster than I'm planning on going." The guy looked at her, looked at the gun, put it back in his pocket, said, "Lady, you can have this neighborhood." That's the kind of courage that it takes. She's now a real agent of renewal in a whole section of the city and now for other countries. Some of the Eastern European countries are sending people over to visit to see how do you create a haven of health and hope. And she said something that I think is applicable for all Street Saints. She said, "God has given us all abilities, and if we will just put them to use for His purposes, we can change not only their lives, but our own." That's what a street saint does.
How many street saints do you follow in here?
I did about 300 interviews all over the country. I've looked at probably 1,000 different nonprofits, faith-based groups all over the country, and I've tried to distill out of them really the best practices. I wanted to have models here that anybody who wants to can follow. See, part of the journey here is not just to tell good stories, but to give people a blueprint. If you want to go serve, how do you do it? So the best practices are in here. Cities are here as examples. Individual programs are examples. Things that people can do, practical things.
It's huge. What a difference it makes when people follow. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And street saints are people who have decided to follow and to use their talents and gifts to make a positive impact. And if you'd like to get a copy of Street Saints, you can go to our website or to the bookstore. In fact, Barbara will be signing the book after the service if you want to get a copy. And you can go to our website at hourofpower.org. And as an expression of my thanks for you to you today, I want to give you this clock. And on the clock it says, "Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. We want to give this to you as an expression of our thanks for your incredible, beautiful, wonderful contributions to society and to the kingdom of God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara,
thank
for
you
everything.
Very much.
God loves you, and so do we.
Thank you.
een prachtige gospel gezongen door de kinderen van het Crystal Cathedral Choir. En die gospel gaat over het feit dat er verlangen is naar water, naar vrijheid. Het werd vroeger op de plantages gezongen door de negerslaven. Maar die tijd ligt gelukkig achter ons. Onze gast vanmorgen bij Hour of Power is John Kroes. Hij is notaris in Alphen aan de Rijn. John, goedemorgen. Je bent een trouwe kijker van Hour of Power. Waarom kijk je?
Klopt. Ik ben geen trouwe kerkbezoeker. Dat was van jongs af aan niet het geval. Wij zijn niet gedoopt, maar wel kerkelijk opgevoed. Dus ik heb in die zin toch wel belangstelling voor het geloof. En eerlijk gezegd is het wel makkelijk vanuit mijn bed ook naar de kerkdienst te kijken. Dus ik heb een bovenmatige belangstelling voor Hour of Power, omdat ik het heel boeiend vind. Ik vind ook dat ze het heel bijzonder doen. Dus ik kijk er met veel plezier naar.
Ja. Goed om te horen. Als notaris heb je denk ik veel te maken met zaken die de emotie van de mens treffen. Bijvoorbeeld een echtscheiding, samenlevingscontract, huwelijkse voorwaarden. Maar ook een testament of een legaat als je weet dat het leven eindig is, toch?
Ja, goed, dat is eigenlijk de enige zekerheid die we hebben in het leven is natuurlijk de dood.
Ja.
Het mooiste onderdeel van mijn vak is die familiepraktijk. Ik vind ook heel bijzonder dat ik dan mag adviseren op het gebied van huwelijksvoorwaarden en testament. Ik kom ook heel veel mensen tegen in de laatste fase van hun leven. Dan gaan ze vaak over de dingen van het leven en wat daarna komt nadenken.
Veel mensen zijn bang voor de dood. Ben je dan niet als notaris een soort biechtvader?
En het bijzondere van, dat de een gaat met de dood heel anders om dan de ander. En daar zie je ook een rol van het geloof, denk ik, heel goed in terug. Als mensen doodgaan, zeg ik altijd, dan zie je ze in de meest pure vorm zoals ze zijn. Er zijn erbij die kunnen loslaten. Die hebben dan ook vaak de steun in het geloof. Dat vind ik wel heel mooi, als je dat kan en als je dat hebt. En er zijn er een heleboel die daar wat meer moeite mee hebben. En die zie je dan ook de dood in hun ogen en de angst daarvoor. Vaak zie je ook wel weer mensen op het laatste moment hun geloof terugvinden. Dat is ook al heel bijzonder. Het blijft denk ik toch ergens smeulen bij de mensen. En ze weten toch wel dat het op de een of andere manier met geloof te maken heeft. En hoe je in het leven hebt gestaan. Maar het is een hele mooie taak om daarbij aanwezig te zijn.
Heb je zelf in je testament geschreven?
Ik heb zelf mijn testament gemaakt. Ik mag het niet tekenen. Dat heeft een collega moeten doen. Ja. Ik heb ook een testament gemaakt.
Ja.
En normaal praten wij natuurlijk nooit over de inhoud van cliënten. Althans de testamenten van cliënten die nog leven. Maar ik mag wel over mijn eigen testament praten. En een van de dingen die ik daarin heb staan is bijvoorbeeld een legaat aan een goed doel. En dat is deels aan een kerk en deels aan een hospicegroep.
Ja.
Die dan met name ook mensen begeleidt in hun laatste fase van hun leven.
Want ik denk dat heel veel mensen zeggen, ja, testament, dat is eng. En hoe moet ik dat doen? En dan ik kijk bijvoorbeeld naar Hour of Power. Wij zijn een stichting. We proberen wereldwijd, waar even zeggen, joh, daar kijk ik met genoegen aan, de boodschap van het evangelie door te geven. Van hoop, van uitzicht. Ook aan Hour of Power kun je natuurlijk een testament of een legaat nalaten. En is dat nou moeilijk?
Nee, moeilijk is het helemaal niet. Je maakt een afspraak bij de notaris. En die notaris die bespreekt met jou de mogelijkheden. Die mogelijkheden zijn vrij ruim. Want je kan zelfs bij leven al denken aan, ik geef giften. Hè, bij,
oh ja?
Dus ja, we hebben het. Je kan vaak twee manieren geven. En wij zeggen dat met de warme hand. Dus dat is bij leven. En je kan ook geven met de koude hand. Het mooiste is natuurlijk als je met een warme hand geeft. Maar daarbij zou je kunnen denken aan het doen van een schenking. Je zou bijvoorbeeld een periodieke uitkering kunnen doen via een notariële akte. Dat wordt notarieel, dat klinkt heel zwaar, maar dat is het niet. Vaak regelt de notaris alles met de instelling zelf. En dan doe je bijvoorbeeld 5 jaarlijkse schenkingen. Is aftrekbaar voor de inkomstenbelasting. Dus ook de fiscus levert een bijdrage in het geheel. Dat doe je dan bij leven. En je kan ook zeggen, ja, prachtig, maar ik wil ook toch nog het genot hebben van mijn zenden gedurende mijn leven en ik wil het pas geven als ik er niet meer ben, dan zou je een testament kunnen maken. Ook heel simpel. Waarbij je in een testament bijvoorbeeld een legaat of een erfstelling.
Ja.
En je kan ook een goed doelinstelling tot erfgenamen noemen. Zegt van, ik laat een bepaald bedrag na. En als je dat goed laat regelen, dan scheelt het ook met name weer successierecht. Dat is de belasting die je moet betalen bij nalaten. Want vaak is die instelling, en Hour of Power zal dat ook zijn, die is vrijgesteld van successierecht. En
ja,
het voordeel daarvan is dat met dat geld wat jij gereserveerd hebt, hele goede dingen gedaan kunnen worden.
Ja.
Dus het is een beetje koudwatervrees. Ga gerust bij die notaris langs en laat het regelen, want zo moeilijk is het allemaal niet.
Goed. Nog even terugkomend op je enthousiasme voor Hour of Power. Weten dat veel kijkers toevallig zijn gaan kijken en op zoek zijn naar God. Is dat bij jou zo of heb je hem gevonden?
Ik zal misschien toch heel kort vertellen hoe mijn geloofservaring vanuit mijn jeugd is gegaan. Mijn ouders hebben altijd één sterk punt in het leven gehad. En de kinderen moeten kiezen voor alles, maar dat moeten ze allemaal zelf doen. Zo zijn wij ook niet gedoopt. We zijn dan ook wel opgevoed in een christelijk besef. Ik heb op een katholieke lagere school gezeten, op een hele zwaar gereformeerde MAVO. En ik was bovenmatig geïnteresseerd in het geloof, ook in God. Dus ik weet dat er een God is. Ik weet dat God er is. Dus ik ben niet op zoek naar God. Ik probeer wel te leven als een christen. En daar probeer ik op mijn eigen wijze invulling aan te geven. Ik probeer te leven naar de beginselen die ik toch meegekregen heb van mijn ouders en mijn opvoeding. Vanuit dat christelijk besef. En ik denk dat als een ieder dat doet, dat de wereld er ook een stuk beter uit zou zien. En dan niet zozeer in die zin op zoek naar God, nee.
John, mag ik je heel hartelijk danken voor alles wat je wist te vertellen en weet te vertellen over wat jouw leven bezighoudt. Ik heb een heel mooi boekje. Dat zijn 365 meditaties van dominee Schuller. Voor elke dag één. In verbinding met de bron. Luister naar Gods waarschuwingen. Een moedig besluit. Nou, noem maar op. Ik hoop dat je het op je bureau legt en 's morgens, voordat je aan de slag gaat, eens even inleest.
Ik ga dat zeker doen. Heel erg bedankt. Ik wens jullie heel veel succes met al het goede werk wat jullie in het kader van Hour of Power doen.
Ja.
En ik zal zeker aan jullie denken als ik iets moet adviseren aan mensen. Joh, zou je misschien niet eens een legaat opnemen voor Hour of Power? En ik denk dat het een heel goed idee is en een goede bestemming zal krijgen. Hartstikke
dankjewel.
Bedankt.
Dankjewel. Ja, wat moet ik hierbij zeggen? Het is natuurlijk zo dat, en dan neem ik toch even de vrijmoedigheid om het te zeggen, dat Hour of Power afhankelijk is van giften. Elke week moet de uitzending betaald worden. Het mooie is dat Hour of Power wereldwijd wordt uitgezonden. In China, in Indonesië, over de hele wereld. En als u denkt dat we daar goede dingen mee doen, met waar u ons mogelijk mee wilt bedenken, ga er bijna van stotteren, dan neem contact met ons op en dan zullen we u zeker verder helpen. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. David Phelps gaat daar zingen. Een prachtig lied. Lead Me Gentle Savior. Het gaat over het feit dat God je rustig en zachtjes door je het leven leidt.
Say,
Thank you, David. That music is just, I think that has to be one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard.
Wow, thank you very much. Thank you.
I'm going to read from Luke 5, and this is the calling of St. Peter. One day as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, when the people crowded around him and listened to the word of God, he saw the water's edge, two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, also known as Peter, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let the nets out for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees. And guess what he said? "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. "Follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And so often when we hear the words to follow Jesus, our immediate reaction is almost always, without exception, I read through the Bible and it's, "Who, me? Choose anyone. Don't you realize I am not worthy? I am not good enough. I am not smart enough. I am not whatever it might be." And we have a host of excuses as to why we cannot follow Christ. But the calling is clear. And when we follow Christ and we do his bidding and we do what he asks us to do, life just becomes more rewarding and more fulfilling than you could ever possibly imagine. St. Peter left everything and followed Christ. Here he has, I can only imagine, this mountain of fish that he left on the beach. When I look at the life of Peter, and I look at what he had done and where he had come from and all that he had done, I can equate with Peter. He's kind of a man's man, if you know what I mean. Everything has to be in black and white for Peter. You know, and you can't tiptoe around the subjects. Just tell it like it is. He's got calluses on his hands. If he sees something going on, he's going to jump right in. He's going to do something about it. He's a man's man. When Jesus was arrested, what did he do? pulls out his sword and he's ready to take on the entire Roman army. And when Jesus called him, it began with a very simple thing: follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And when he hears this, he has the same reaction that most people have when they are called by God to do something, to use their gifts, their talents, and their abilities to make a difference in society, to become a street saint. What we do is we just automatically revert to our negative sides. We say, oh no, Lord, not me. Well, St. Peter, what was it? Not me, Lord. I am a sinner. And Jesus responds and says, fear not. Fear not. Trust me. Believe me. Allow me to do good things in your lives. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And here he is talking to a fisherman who had just unloaded his nets, and there is this giant pile of fish. And I know why he followed Jesus without hesitation. Few people know, but I do. I am a fisherman. I've had the experience of catching lots of fish. I remember one time I was fishing with my son, and we stopped at this one kelp paddy, and he brought in a little fish. I said, oh, that's a cute thing. And his friend brought in another one. I said, oh, that's a cute thing. And we throw them back. And all of a sudden, he's bringing another one in. I says, come on, Robbie, bring that in. We got to get this thing in, and let's go find some real fish. But he wouldn't bring it in. I said, come on, get that thing in. All of a sudden, up comes about a 20-pound albacore. And this was a big fish, and so we put him in the bucket. And his friend, all of a sudden, he brings one in. Well, we spent the whole day there catching fish, filling up the boat. And after we'd caught about 30 of these things, I said, okay, who wants to catch another one? Remembering that we have to clean all these fish. All of a sudden, everybody was very tired. Now, here's the insight for you. Peter looks at that huge pile of fish, and Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And he says, you know, I like the idea of being a fisher of men a little bit better. And he decides to follow Jesus. And what he realizes is that when people become followers of Jesus Christ, that they too need to be cleaned. For what was his first response? His first response was, Lord, I can't follow you. I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. And what we don't hear is how Christ came and cleansed his soul and cleansed his spirit and took all the negative thoughts out of his mind. I can't follow you, Christ. I am not worthy. I cannot do what you want me to do. I can't be the person you want me to be. And Christ went through the process of cleaning his mind of the negative thoughts and filling his mind with the positive reality that through Christ we can do all things. We can be all things through Christ who loved us. You could say to that mountain, move, and nothing will be impossible to you. And for 3 years, Jesus continued to fill Peter's mind with these positive thoughts of the reality of the truth of the gospel and the truth and the reality of God's relationship with us. And after 3 years, what did Peter do? He denied Christ 3 times. And of all the characters in the Bible, I can't think of another one who was actually called twice. Not once, but twice. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he appeared before the apostles. It was after the resurrection. He was on the seashore, and he yelled out to the boat, "Cast your nets on the other side." Peter had gone back to his family. He'd gone back to fishing. Christ had been crucified. He was dead. So he went back to doing what he always did. There's a message there, isn't there? He went back to doing what he always did. And Jesus yelled from the shore, "Cast your nets on the other side." And having not caught anything all night, they said, "What the heck? You know, let's cast them on the other side. Nothing to lose. Can't be any worse there than it is over here." You will always find a fisherman who's willing to try something new when everything else has never worked. Truth. They cast them on the other side. They fill the nets. They have to call everybody in. Another huge pile of fish. And after they'd enjoyed some of the fish, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" He says, "Of course I do, Lord. Then feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Of course I do, Lord. Then feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me?" "Of course I do, Lord. Then feed my sheep." And Peter continued to feed God's sheep and to continue to be an instrumental leader in establishing the Church of Jesus Christ to his dying day. And according to tradition, St. Peter died in 69 AD in Rome, crucified upside down because he didn't want to die the exact same way Christ did. I look at people who have accepted the call of Christ. And this weekend, we can't help but look at the man of Martin Luther King. He heard the call of a lady who had been kicked off of the bus because of the color of her skin. And so Rosa Parks wasn't allowed to sit on the bus. Martin Luther King went and supported her. A little over a year later, the Supreme Court passed down the ruling that black and whites would be able to sit on the buses together and equally. What happens when people don't look at the negative and say, "Oh, what's going to happen to me? Oh, I don't think I can do that. I'm too sinful." But allow the Holy Spirit to come and cleanse them of their sins, take away all the negative thoughts, and ingest them with the positive reality of his goodness and his care. We're filled with a lot of street saints is what happens. And the street saints come in small packages and big packages. And if you're doing what God has called you to do, and you're not simply going to work and doing a job, then do it with all your might and be the person that God has called you to be. And continue to support the street saints who need your funds. Support them with your time and your energy. Support them with your prayers. Continue to be the person that God has called you to be. And just say a prayer every day for all who are at work diligently doing what God has called us to do. And in so doing, you follow your calling. Fear not. Follow Jesus, and he'll make us fishers of men. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are truly a God who empowers and strengthens us. You're a loving God. You're a God who cares for the sparrows, and if you care for the sparrows in the field, how much more won't you care for me? And so take away the negative thoughts which hold me back. Take away the thoughts which don't allow me to be the person that you've called me to be. Give me the positive thoughts to realize that you'll forgive my sins. Give me the positive thoughts that you will give me everything that is required for me to do the job that you have given for me to do. Give me the positive thoughts that you will always be there, that you will always care. That if we listen to you and we cast our nets, there'll be far more than we can ever possibly imagine. And so we thank you, Lord, for everything. We praise your name always. And we follow you to the ends of the world. Amen. beautiful anthem. Thank you, Peter Pryor. Thank you, Donald Newman. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord grant you his peace. In your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus. In that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Een geweldige preek van dominee Schuller over Petrus. Wat een bijzondere apostel was dat toch. Hij werd geroepen. En zo worden wij ook geroepen. Ieder op ons eigen plekje om dat te doen wat de grote opdracht is. Hou van je naaste als van jezelf. En heb God lief bovenal, want hij heeft ook ons lief. Ik wens iedereen een hele goede tijd toe. Ga je op vakantie een hele goede vakantie toegewenst. Op veel vakantiebestemmingen is Hour of Power trouwens ook te zien. En als je meer informatie wilt hebben, kijk op onze website www.hourofpower.nl. Nogmaals, dank voor het kijken en graag tot volgende week bij Hour of Power. Gentle sound.